You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about life after breakup. You know, I think for the most part, being dumped is a painful process to endure. You know, I think later on we may look at it as a godsend. You know, but I think at the time, it really does feel like the end of the world. It's a painful shock. It can deliver a massive blow to the ego. And through my personal research as a therapist as well, and through my personal experience, I've deduced that the actions that we take after a said breakup is the opposite of what we should ever be doing. I think we tend to make bad choices. We make bad choices when it comes to almost every area of our life after a breakup. And instead of caring for ourselves, we allow ourselves to not grieve. We don't take concern for ourselves. We put ourselves last, and we do the opposite of everything we should do on every account. So on tonight's Perspectives, we're going to be talking about the three types of things that we do, the three types of categories that we fall into after a breakup, what that means, the characteristics of all three, and later on, I'm also going to give you the successful tips and the actual protocol of dealing with a breakup, even if you were the breaker-uppy or you were the one that got dumped. We're going to talk about actually finding true love and being able to move on with the rest of your life and letting this fall behind as a last memory, a memory that doesn't seem to have that much energy or power on your life anymore. You know, Bill, I think we've talked about this before. We've talked about breakups, and we've talked about how painful it can be. And you and I both know that a lot of times there are several different categories that you can spin from. And I think a lot of times we try to make it harder than it is. But I think rationally, when we look at life, we all kind of fall into certain categories.
Well, you know, Ashley, I have to admit, I'm probably not going to be too much help to you on this show, seeing as how I've never been dumped.
Oh, you know, really?
I mean, I just have this special way with women. And, you know, usually I'm the one that has to dump them. Because, you know, even though I am pretty good, there's only so much of me to go around. And so, you know, if I feel like the relationship is going too far, I might have to, you know, just gently let her down. Now normally she's devastated anyway. But,
well, God bless.
You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I understand. Just, I mean, you have all these qualities, I mean,
yeah,
you know,
and I'm humble.
There's only one Bill.
And I'm humble. That's probably my most redeeming quality out of my many redeeming qualities.
And he's humble.
Yes.
Audience, listeners, he's humble.
That's probably the best quality I have.
I love it. So let's talk. Because you have never fallen into any three of these categories, this might be hard to understand. But
I'll do my best.
If you can. Because I know you're humble, and you're just, you know, you're smiling just to make me happy right now. I know. And so that's fine. And because Bill's being a good sport right now, we're going to talk about the three categories that other people that have found themselves on the other receiving end of being dumped may have experienced.
The other 7 billion people on this planet.
The other 7 billion.
Yes.
So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I got 7 billion, not the 7 billion one, but I got 7 billion listening to this show right now.
Exactly.
So let's talk about with the first category. And that first category is, guess what? The homebounders. The homebounders. You know, the homebounders where all this stuff hits the fan, the breakup happens, and you can't leave the house. You are overwhelmed with grief and sadness and anger, and you are moping around the house. I mean, think about it. I think some of y'all actually feel when you're in the situation like you're a cardboard cutout of yourself. Like the real self was there at one point in time, and now you're like the Troy Aikman, you know, cardboard cutout that we have on the side of the room there, and you're trying to figure out what are you going to do next. Like, you also start believing that what? It's all your problem. You believe that everything that happened to you, the whole reason for the breakup is because you were all at fault. And I think that's a problem because when you're a homebounder, you take it all personally. There's no, well, this could have been a godsend. There's no, oh, well, so-and-so also was, you know, also at fault. And, or maybe this just didn't work because of this. It's more like this didn't work because I screwed up. And I think a lot of times when you're in that situation, what do you want to do? You want to get closure or you want to get back together.
Yeah.
Is there a way that I can call her or him? And we can just let all this go by, let this go by the wayside, just start this all over again because I was in love with them and I even have a tattoo on my butt with their name on it. What am I going to do? There's only so many times I can hide it with the dancing bears from the Grateful Dead. I mean, what are you going to pick this time, you know? My Little Pony? I mean, what are you going to pick? You know, I don't know.
Maybe this category could also be Homebounders, a.k.a. the cave dweller. Because I know people like this. It's like they look for a cave to go disappear in.
Exactly.
You know, or a black hole. You know, they want to fall into a black hole and just disappear.
Antimatter.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And I think it's just like you described, Ashley. It's like, oh my gosh, my life is over. You know, this person was my life. And now my life is over. It's not even, you know, worth going on. And so I'm just going to, you know, go into the bedroom, turn on all the lights, crawl into the covers, get in the fetal position.
And pray that I die.
And just hold my breath. Actually, have you known people that actually say that? I just want to die.
I've had people call me. I remember one time when a friend of mine broke up, and it was bad. And you know, at the time, it seemed like the end of the world. And I can understand, because when you've been spending that much time with somebody for years, especially a year deal, you know, like a year, 2 years, or 3 years, or 5 years, and it all happens. And it was funny. I was on an anniversary dinner with my husband, and I get a call. And something told me not to answer it, but I'm a good friend.
Yeah.
And this person called twice, and I answered it. We were in the middle of our entree. You know, this is a big deal. I think it was our 10-year anniversary.
Oh, quick interruption.
Why did I answer the phone?
Would answer the phone for a therapy type thing during your 10-year anniversary. That is exactly what you would do.
I know, and I couldn't believe I did it because I thought, there's got to be a reason this person's calling me twice. I better answer the phone. Oh, my God. I mean, I might as well have been in that bed with them. I'm telling you that. Because it was like, oh, the crying. And then you got to calm them down. And then you're trying to figure... You know who it is, thank God, because you have caller ID. And that's the only reason you know who it is.
Yeah.
And it's just like... Ah! And at the time, I felt really, really bad. And after about 20 minutes, and my food got cold, and I had to send it back, and they had to, like, microwave it or do whatever, which was so nice... I finally was like, okay, I'm going to call you tomorrow. For the preservation of my own marriage, I'm going to need to call you.
I was going to say, meanwhile, your hubby is probably just sitting there trying his best to maintain his patience and trying to eat.
Too bad he didn't crochet.
I was going to say, in the meantime, he's probably in there thinking, oh my gosh.
Darts for eyes, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know. And I was thinking that. I was like, oh God. But anyway, we got off the phone, and the next day I went over there, and she was still in bed. And the next day was the same, and the next day was the same.
Did she call into work sick?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Calling to work sick. Had to end up getting, like, made up some fake thing, you know, made up some flu or Asian flu or something like that. And she really was in the fetal position. I mean, she could have been sick, you know. And about a month, it took about a month for her to be able to really, she went to work, but for her to really contain herself. And I remember about 2.5 months after the breakup, it was like the aha moment. And sometimes it takes a lot longer, and sometimes it takes a lot shorter, but she was able to realize that the best thing that had happened was this breakup. But I think the hardest thing to deal with is the wasted, in parentheses, of time. You know, we have a tendency of looking at that time when we have a relationship, and when it goes to the pooper, we have that possibility of looking and saying, man, I wasted these 2 years of my life. 2 years of my life I could never get back. And I think it's interesting with the homebounders, though, instead of getting mad, they get sad. And they internalize that depression internally.
Yeah, they're just, like, devastated.
Yeah, they never get mad. Like you have to actually bring it up to their attention that they haven't become mad. I mean, because grief is one thing, and sadness, and dealing with that whole mental blow and that whole ego blow. But then eventually comes the mad part. You got to get mad at some point. Because if you never get mad, you're always going to be sad. And you have to get mad to get over the situation. And then you got to be like, I'm not saying about getting even.
Right.
Not talking about sending out a hit on anybody right now.
Right, for right now, that's coming up later in the show.
I know some people picked up the phone and was about to call somebody they know. But no, I'm not talking about that right this second. You know, but a lot of the homebounders... They look at it and they see themselves as the problem. They also typically over medicate themselves with pharmaceuticals. Could use sleeping pills as well. There's certain particular ones, Valium and Xanax, that get abused quite a bit during a situation after a breakup, because a lot of times people don't want to think And they don't want to be awake. They want to be asleep. They want to be asleep because they don't want to be alone. And that's a big part of it, is that a lot of times when we break up, is it all because that person was God's gift to you? Were they God's gift to creation? Or was it because he didn't want to be alone? And a lot of that's a big deal, because when we see people act up on the other side being a homebounder and they're taking medication to sleep, sometimes that can be depression. But on the other side, that can be depression / I hate being by myself. And I always think there's a difference between homebounders that have roommates and have family that live with them versus homebounders that live on their own. That's always interesting, too, because it's a lot easier for them to come out of it when somebody else is around. It's a lot harder when they're alone. And, you know, it's got to be sad, especially for the pets of these people, too. They're like, would you just get up and feed me, for God's sakes?
And scratch my belly? I mean, come on.
I mean, come on. I've been here for you.
Right.
Know? You're over there like acting like I don't exist. I mean, take me for a walk. I always cry at that. There's one commercial, it used to be a depression pill commercial. I can't remember the name of the pill. But, you know, finally the lady starts taking that pill, and then she's able to pet the dog. I remember that. I was like, oh my God, now she's able to pet the dog.
You have to go get drugs just to love on your own animal, huh?
I know, even though when you love on your own animal in a normal way, there's certain endorphins that are produced. It's very interesting. When we return, we'll be talking more about the homebounders, as well as beginning to talk about another group that I like to call the act out. The group that likes to act out in a big way right after the breakup. So stay tuned, because Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about life after breakup, and it can be very hard. I mean, when somebody breaks up with you, it can feel like the end of the world. You can start wondering, where did your world go, and who are you, and what am I supposed to be doing? And being overwhelmed with grief and depression is not a fun place to be. And, you know, tonight we're talking about the three categories that most people fall into after a breakup, those characteristics, and later on, besides that, I'm going to help all three of those categories get out of that same funk and actually realize how to find their true self and how to find real love after a breakup. It's not the end of the world, I'm telling you. I mean, there's still time and there's still faith. You got to have faith in the process. But a lot of times we don't realize the honesty of the process, and we don't realize the facts. There are actual facts and ways to actually get out of a breakup so that you can poise yourself to a position where the next time you meet somebody, if it's the right thing to do and you followed my protocol, it'll be love. And that's something not to be joked about. This is a real deal. So let's talk about life after breakup. You have this one category called the homebounders. And those homebounders stay home. So after the breakup happens, oh God, the grief and the suffering and the depression begins. And those homebounders are stuck at home because they can't leave the house. They're overwhelmed. They're stressed out. They're sad. They're depressed. A lot of times they call in sick to work. Some people actually lose their job over this whole thing. I've had clients come in and talk to me about a breakup. And the next thing you know, after we talk about that, I'll ask them about their job. And they'll be like, well, I lost that, you know. I lost that 2 days after the breakup. You know, why? I didn't show up to work.
You think?
Why did he not do that? I just couldn't do it. I couldn't even bother calling in. Ugh. I couldn't even get it together. Why was that? Because I had taken 10 extra pills of downers that I shouldn't have taken and tried to sleep it off. Okay. He got fired. And I've seen this time and time again, and I know anybody that's listening that's been there goes, well, you don't even know what it means. You don't even know how it feels to be broken up with. It was so overwhelming. And I get it. I know how it feels. I mean, you know, Bill doesn't know how it feels because he'll never know that. He'll never know that.
That's just not something I've ever been in. But, however, all right, I do know someone who bears a strong resemblance to me, even sounds like me. Now, he's not my twin. I mean, he's like my wannabe twin.
Oh, he's okay. Your wannabe twin.
Yeah, I mean.
And he's not your Gemini twin, right?
No, he's not my Gemini twin.
Because Bill is a Gemini, y'all, for everybody listening right now.
Because I'm a Gemini, and I accomplish both sides by myself, okay? That's how good I am.
Both sides of what?
Both sides of my personality.
Oh, okay. So, I was going somewhere else.
You know. It's a family show. Family show. Remember that.
It's your family show.
But, I was going to say, well, my family would like it. But my wannabe twin has... is not a homebounder, but has known people who have been. And it's, in one way, it's sad to see somebody having to go through that, you know, especially if you care for them. You know, it's like you want to give them a hug. Oh, it'll be okay. You know, he or she was a jerk anyway. You know, it'll be okay. But at the same time, I want to be twin also thinks to himself, you got to go on with your life. You know, it's
you got to move on. You can't just mope the whole time. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you've been there before trying to help somebody like that, right?
Yes, I have.
When you go over there, all the lights are off, all the blinds are closed.
My wannabe twin used to have a friend who the girlfriend broke up with him.
Okay.
And just devastated him. And he actually turned to substances.
A lot of people do.
Of the illegal kind to deal with his grief. And he would, I counsel him, okay. You know, this is your chance. You know, you've got to go on through life. You know, see who else is out there. And he just couldn't let it go. And he would constantly try to get back with her, and she would just jerk him around.
And a lot of times, yeah, when you're in a situation of being a homebounder, the one thing you want is just to get attention and to get back into that life of that person.
It's like don't you think it's a little kid who didn't get his way, so, you know, I'm going to hold my breath. You know, and the kid's turning blue, and you know, or somebody who's like puts the bag over their head, you know, just to get the attention.
Yeah, well, I mean, when people would hold their breath, I would do the same thing too, but I'd always breathe out of my nose. I'd be like, I could hold my breath forever.
That's right.
For days, I could go underwater for days, like a million leagues under the sea,
which
kind
is
of deal.
When I pull that on my girlfriend, she holds my nose. That's not really fair, I don't think.
That's not fair. And y'all are actually talking about marriage here.
I know.
Be careful. Make sure when you're sick, she doesn't bring a pillow into the bedroom and suffocate you with it. You never know nowadays, man.
I know, right? Yeah, it could be married.
CSI
an axe murderer
and all here. This stuff. You never know. Oh, yeah, married an axe murderer. I love that movie.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though. But, you know, when we talk about those homebounders, we're talking about people that mope, people that feel like cardboard cutouts of themselves. We're also talking about people that might be over-medicating themselves, oversleeping, over-depressed. But also the same thing is that they're praying to talk to the person that broke up with them so that they can get back in and do something and see if they can recreate the relationship. And the sad thing is that there's a lot of issues to that. Like, there's one side that you're not even thinking about yourself. In no way, shape, or form, being a homebounder after a breakup is helpful to you. It's actually antithetical to you. It goes the opposite of everything that you need to be doing after a breakup. You're not thinking about yourself. You're not taking care of yourself. For the most part, most of you homebounders out there who are dealing with this right now know that you're not even hardly eating. Okay? One cracker a day is not enough. Okay? This is a breakup. This wasn't a death sentence.
Or the ones who, like, just, what do you call it, feast, not that's not the word I'm looking for.
Binge.
Binge. Thank you. Binge.
So you got people that binge eat.
Binge on like bonbons.
Well, you got people that binge eat on anything. There was a lady the other day. I went in for this. Surgery on my esophagus the other day, and you know, some people binge eat and don't even think what they're eating. This lady actually swallowed pencils.
Hey.
And they have to get those out. They have to go in and get surgery. What, get those out.
Just out of curiosity, what end first? The sharp end?
End first. I know, right? I mean, it happens. I mean, sometimes you're not paying attention. I mean, for all those people out there where you're eating and you're not even paying attention to what you're eating.
I'm just hungry. Don't even know what I'm eating. I'm just going to reach over here and just eat the first thing. Oh, a pencil. At least it's long and slender. It'll go down easy.
And it doesn't seem like it's that many calories. I mean, you know, a little lead poisoning went a long way, you know. Think about it, though. There's a lot of people out there. And I know a lot of people being from what I do is my career. Also, just being a good friend that have been a homebounder. And that's, you know, that's something that is very interesting because I think you're overlooking the fact that the other person had a lot to do with this breakup. Okay, this wasn't a perfect relationship. You're not missing out on the only thing that's going to last for you. You're not thinking about, this is not the last relationship you're going to have. You're not going to be deemed to being single. You're not going to be a spinster if you're some woman. You're not going to be a cat dude if you get broken up with right now. And I know that a lot of people listening go, but it was the one. But you know what? If it was the one, you wouldn't be breaking up. even if the other person's doing the breakup, you have to think about it in the quantitative idea that if that person's breaking up with you, there's a reason for it. And it probably has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them. And if it has something to do with you, be glad they broke up with you. It was only going to get worse. I mean, and also, you don't even know what's going on over there. I don't want to put a lot of questions in people's minds, but, you know, when you're a homebounder, you only think about the things that you did wrong. You never think about the things that somebody else did wrong. You never think about the things that somebody else didn't have. I mean, you start making that person out to be, you know, like a bronze statue of amazing courage and the best looking person you ever dated and had all these values, when in actuality, sit back and think about what was really in the relationship. And you know, if you really need to as a homebounder, you really got to figure out how to get angry. And I'm not talking about starting fights. And I'm not talking about throwing bricks through people's car windows or, you know, slashing tires.
Or hiring hitmen
at this time. But I think that you got to get mad. And that's one of the ways out of being a homebounder, is once you're able to realize, heck, this wasn't all about me. This person broke up with me, and they broke up with me because I don't know why, but I'm mad about this because I didn't see it coming, especially if you didn't see it coming. Sometimes when we sit back, we realize that there was a lot of writing on the wall, and that needs to be determined as well. But as a homebounder, you are a person that takes things personally, always, most of the time. You see the problem that you add instead of the awesome things that you give into a relationship, right? So instead of seeing all the great things that you provide, you see the things that you lack in. Okay, these are certain characteristics. You also have a tendency of being a bit, and I don't mean needy in a bad way, I'm saying, but you have a tendency of being very, very connected. And it's very hard for you to divide up, as well as sometimes homebounders come from a broken home. Homebounders also come from maybe a home that didn't have a mother or a father. And so you have a tendency of wanting to hold on to anything and everything that comes next to you. And you don't want to lose them because you have a fear of abandonment. So that could go back to the whole concept of being a homebounder, is that when you deal with this breakup, you can't even deal with society because you've been abandoned. And you're not getting angry because you're the victim. And so a lot of times the homebounder is the victim, and we got to get you out of the victim mentality and into being in the power position. And I think that's what's so important tonight. So stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking now about the person that actually does the acting out, the exact opposite of the homebounder. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about life after breakup. Which category do you fit into? Are you a homebounder? Are you a person that acts out? Or are you one of those jumpers? We're going to talk about that tonight. You know, earlier we've been talking about the homebounders. And, you know, if you find yourself in that category that you're a homebounder, I want you to start getting angry. I want you to get angry, and I want you to realize that that is not the end of the world, okay? It's not the end of the world that this person dumped you. It might have been a godsend, and most of the time it is. And, you know, you have to sit there and look at it and realize it's not all about you. You're the same person that a lot of times when somebody seems to be in a bad mood, you go, is this something I did? Was it me? Are y'all talking about me? Are you talking about me?
You're talking to me? Huh? You're talking to me?
How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing? Huh? Talking to me?
Tony Montana, how you doing? So yeah, so a lot of times we have a tendency of really thinking it's all about us. We're homebounders because we feel like the world's falling apart. We must have done something wrong. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with you. Sit up and realize that you have some power, and realize that the other person also is part of the problem, not the solution. Okay, so let's go to the next category. The next category is the acting out category. This is the opposite of the homebounders. The acting out category is the opposite because, you know, after the breakup, what happens? 24/7 party. 24/7. Out at the clubs. Woo, yeah. Dancing, drinking. Every single night.
It's like somebody's been sprung from jail.
Sunday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday through Sunday, because why? We get drunk every single night. Some people have reported blackouts. Some people have just said passed out. And then, you know, it's just like every single night. You're doing that every single night. Drinking, overly drinking, hanging out, just literally
one
kind
night
of
stands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's only bad until it starts seeping into your consciousness that morning about what's going on, and then you look at the person next to you and you go, oh my God.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not careful, something else will seep into you.
Oh, man.
And then you got other issues to worry about.
You'll be going up to the clinic there soon. Yeah.
Or the OB-GYN.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Got broken up with and ended up getting prego 2 weeks later. Yep. from a club one-night stand. Oh, geez. No, seriously. So think about this, because this is the side that to me is very interesting. I think it's interesting because when we choose to act out, we're drinking too much, we're partying too much, we're going wild. You know, we act out immediately. You know, instead of being sad at home and letting the waves of emotions flow over you, which is what we kind of should do when we have to grieve something that's lost, we drown our feelings at the club. That's what we do. Yeah. Drowning our feelings at the club, man. This is awesome. I have clients all the time that talk about Sunday through Sunday binge drinking at the clubs. And when they wake up in the morning and they like literally open their eyes, they say it's not until that point when they go, oh God, I can't believe I did that. But then turn right back around at 9 p.m. that night after work and they're out again. Mm-hmm. Doing the same thing. And sometimes with the act outers, this becomes a lifestyle.
Now, see, and let me ask you this, because I'm sure you're about to get into the whys, but at least in my observation, one, and there's probably several reasons why, but one of the reasons why is revenge. I'm going to show this person.
You know, revenge is a big deal.
You've been, you know, keeping me down, and now that I'm finally free of you, here's what I'm going to do to get back at you.
I've seen revenge on many occasions where women that were broken up with, the first thing they do is go out by the shortest skirts. They head to the clubs.
And the tallest heels.
Yeah, they head to the clubs where they know that
the
maybe they
makeup.
Met each other at, you know. They could have met their previous significant other there. They might not know that the person that broke up with them, maybe their friends hang out there. Okay, that's one thing. So revenge, yes. Revenge is a big deal when they're going after also the ex's friends, which is a possibility. The other thing is to show you that I don't care. I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't care. I've moved on. But the biggest thing is numbing. That alcohol helps to numb the pain that you're no longer with that person.
Right.
And, so, you know, it keeps numbing every day.
Keep talking, Ashley. I'm looking at the blue jay outside the window here in the studio there.
No.
It's a pretty blue jay.
It's a pretty blue jay.
Uh-oh. Looks like a sad blue jay. I bet his partner broke up with him.
Hopefully his partner wasn't killed or hurt or run over by a car or anything.
I don't either, but it looks pretty sad. It looks like they're going back to the nest and holding up there.
Anyway. Oh, poor little nest. Poor little people.
Right.
Little birds. Maybe he's actually never been broken up with like you. He's a blue jay.
I was going to say, maybe he's the blue jay equivalent of me. You know, I mean, as good as I am, I can't do it for all species of animals here.
I think it's funny, though, so some of the clients, and it's not really funny, but I think the main problem that they find is waking up every morning to that chaos, right? The feeling that there's still pain, but the awareness from the night before, it becomes this vicious cycle, right? And I think that a lot of times this vicious cycle causes more problems than an initial breakup.
Well, maybe it's the chaos itself might be, you know, the self-medication. You know, I don't want to feel bad, so I'm going to just immerse myself in chaos. That way I don't have to think about it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, having a bunch of people around you where it's never quiet. Again, this goes back to the fact of not wanting to be alone. I mean, you'd rather just go to the club out every night, do what you got to do, bring back whoever, okay, whoever comes back, and do it again and again and again. And these same people will call up friends of theirs that have no want or desire to go out and just beg them, please go out with me. You know what I mean? Just so they can get people to go out with them. Because they don't want to deal with the fact that they've been broken up with. They don't want to deal with it. They can't see another way to deal with it except for to go out and to party and to drown their sorrows. But they don't see it that way. They see it as I'm going out to the clubs and I'm going to go meet someone new. I'm going to move on. And I think that's always an interesting protocol. I know a lot of people that have actually been there before. And a lot of times, like after a major divorce, for example, and it was a painful divorce, I know some people that have never moved on. I know some people that are still in the act out stage, the act out category, 4 years after their divorce. Constant. I mean, you go out with, I have a friend of mine that is the epitome of the act out stage. Divorce was finalized a little more than 3 years ago. They're constantly over drinking. They're constantly getting involved with fast women. And I went to dinner with my friend the other day, and we were talking about stuff, and he goes, you know what? It got kind of bad the other day. Got kind of bad.
That's probably an understatement.
And I, and yeah, for him, I'm like, oh God, what happened? You know, I go, what does it mean? I mean, I've heard of some stories. I've seen some real stuff with you. That was real bad. So what does kind of bad mean? He's like, well, I'm at the club. I was hanging out. I ended up meeting this woman. You know, we're talking and hanging out. And he's like, I had about three or four drinks before that. And I had a few drinks before I left the house. And I went over after the club about 2:15 in the morning to go grab a bite next door. And I decided I didn't want to wait around. I was going to call this girl up to my house and have her come by, and we were going to hang
out. One night stand, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about one night stand, but there's several.
Well, stands. Yeah, if you call someone of the opposite gender after midnight, it's a booty call.
Oh, well, totally true. At 2:15, massive booty call. So he was going to take off and go grab a cab or walk back this direction. And as he's walking back that direction, he ends up passing out on the sidewalk. I am not kidding you at all. He said he woke up the next morning. When he looked at his watch, he said it was 5:55 a.m. So he had only slept for like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
But he woke up because the sprinklers went off in the grass.
It hit him in the face.
And woke up, yeah, because it hit him in the face. And he woke up and he looked around and he realized he was right next door to a Denny's. He had passed out on the Denny's sidewalk on the back of the Denny's.
Wow.
So, you know, you have like the back of the Denny's, and on the back of that is basically like a drive, like the alleyway.
Yeah.
So he's on the back side between the Denny's and the alleyway on the sidewalk right next to the grass part, you know, up by the Denny's where they have, you know, like the little shrubbery and all that. Walks in, literally, like, wipes himself down, walks into the Denny's, uses the restroom, comes out, gets spaghetti and some flapjacks. I'm like, dude, never ends.
Can't grieve forever, right? You know, life goes on, you know, 2 seconds, okay, enough.
And I got to move on, but that's what he does. And it's constant. And it's ever since that divorce, he's out of control. He's been out on the act out scene for so long that he doesn't know life outside of it.
I bet these are the people who, when they were like 3 or 4 years old, they were like, you know, the tantrum throwers. Right?
You think so?
If they didn't get what they wanted, you know, blood curdling scream and, you know, stopping and throwing things and, you know, blue in the face.
I don't know. I mean, you got some people that probably, it might have been the opposite too. They could have been that way, or it could be the ones that never, you know, there were so many kids in the family that they never got any attention.
The middle child syndrome?
Yeah, maybe that's why they're acting out.
You know, they were the Jan.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I know some friends that are in the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids category in their family.
Holy moly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this particular person, I think there's 7 in their family. So he is like 1 of 7. And so I don't really think, you know, from an immigrant family, that low, you know, low income immigrant family, that, I mean, I think that, you know, all of a sudden you get up to a certain level. But I think it's the anger of the fact that the marriage didn't work. I think that some people get into it no matter what's up with that marriage, no matter if the woman is Satan herself. You know, it's like, you're going to make it work no matter what. I'm going to make this work. GD, I'm going to make this work. And if this doesn't work, I'm going to just blow it all up, right? That's what happened. Because sometimes it's the end-all, be-all of life's existence. You know what I mean? And sometimes people want to get married or be in a relationship more than they care about the person they're married or in the relationship with. I mean, you have friends like that where you're like, yep, you just like the idea of it. I don't even think you really like this person. But they mismatch it all together, thinking, oh, this is the love of my life, when in actuality, they just want to, like, be in love. And so when we return, we're talking more about the act-out category, as well as talk about the category of jumpers, how some people, instead of dealing, instead of acting out, instead of weeping and staying at home, they decide that there's no time for anything except for to jump to another relationship. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes. I can lift you up. I can show
you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about life after breakup. You know, what category do you fall into? What category does best describes who you are after a breakup? Is it the homebounders, where you're stuck at home, moping around, feeling like a cardboard cutout of the old you? Are you over-medicating? Are you sleeping a lot, not taking care of yourself, not eating? That's a big deal, because a lot of people fall into that category. The second category is the opposite of that. That's the act-out category. Instead of being at home and being sad, you are drowning your sorrows at the club and sleeping with random people. That's a big deal. You get drunk so much that you probably black out, wake up next to somebody you don't even know, hoping everything was just okay and wondering if it was good. I wonder if that was good. I don't know.
I wonder if I even remember what the person's name was. That'd be a start.
Hi, can I see your license to make sure you're okay?
Yeah.
It's nothing like going, yay, you.
Or maybe you go back to the club owner. You got security tape I can look at?
Hey, you. So good that you're here. When they go to the bathroom, you're like going, if it's a woman that you're sleeping with, you're going through the woman's purse looking for her ID to try to get a name off of it.
Right.
I know your name, Joanna. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I was going through your purse looking for some gum. Some gum.
So if you had any breath mints.
Any
you know?
Breath mints. You know, I don't know. Maybe a couple of dollars for the Coke machine. I don't know. Anything. So yeah, so then we deal with the whole act outers, and I have a lot of friends that have fallen into that category. I have a lot of friends that have fallen into that often, and I have some friends that actually haven't been able to come out of it. Haven't been able to come out of it, period, at all. I mean, they haven't been able to come out of it. They haven't been able to figure out who they are. They haven't been able to understand what to do. They literally have fallen into the category of living a club life. And I know that for some people that can sound very interesting, but I think to me it would be very boring. I would get very over it eventually, because eventually you have to agree and you have to look to the point that you're not dealing with anything. I mean, if anything, you're actually going the opposite. You're actually avoiding getting to know yourself. You're not even dealing with being sad. I mean, you're literally drowning your sorrows on a day-to-day basis, hoping that the alcohol kills some of those brain cells. Okay, that's not a way to live. But there's another category, a more even more interesting, more long-term problematic category that more men than women find themselves in, and that's the jumper category. And I'm not talking about people that jump off tall buildings to their death. I'm talking about the jumpers. And the jumpers are people who do not like to be alone. I mean, immediately after a relationship has passed, they jump to the next relationship. They don't deal with any baggage. They don't even acknowledge the fact that baggage exists. Think about it. It's like they have this imaginary lifetimer, like a stopwatch over their head. You know what I'm saying? And they got to beat the clock. Like they got to have as many relationships as possible. They got to find that one and they got to beat the clock. It's like they're on some sort of, I don't know, like game show. And men have more of a tendency of falling into this category than women. I mean, there are women out there that do this too, but more men. And it's funny because this category is one of the biggest deals is you never want to be alone. You can't be alone. You just will not allow yourself to be alone because it scares you. I mean, you're literally, it scares the crap out of you, right? And this group also finds themselves in the same predicament. Okay, so think about it. They're avoiding any sort of pain. They're avoiding the fact that they have any baggage. And so they get into a new relationship. They literally find a new one randomly, wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, they meet somebody. They're those people that, until you really realize what's going on, you always think that they're the ones that are just, you know, that they must be the catches. You know, they always got somebody. They always got some woman or some man living with them. There's always something going on. But they always find themselves in the same predicaments. And it's interesting how it might take years to realize the similarity from a past relationship to the present, but it does sometimes happen. And running from one relationship or marriage to another without taking the proper time to better yourself or to even acknowledge the role that you played in the breakup is a problem. That's why we call it baggage, okay? And there's a lot of people that fall into that category. I have some friends right now who are dealing with divorces that have recently come to pass. The divorce was, I think, official back a couple of months ago. And they just met somebody, each one of these people, more men than women, and they each met somebody, and it's like the Fast and Furious relationship. And they're constantly out with this person. And the interesting thing about it is a lot of times the people that they date don't even really have that much in common with them. I mean, and some of it is like, you're like, man, I really liked your ex a lot more. I mean, my God. And then sometimes you meet somebody that's new to their life and it's like, wow, is this your ex's like twin sister? I mean, do they have the same name? I mean, because they are exactly identical. Have you learned anything from the last relationship? And if you try to point out anything, they're not going to get you. They can't understand that. I mean, they could be dating the twin of their ex-wife. And you can be like, don't you think there's a similarity between the two? Don't you think? I mean, like, if you put them like side by side, don't you think they look exactly like?
Yeah.
And both of their names, so they're both named Annie? Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I really think that's an interesting quality. And they're like, yeah, what do you mean? What are you trying to say about that? You're like, nothing at all, man. Good
just
for you.
Just pointing it out, you know, just those are the facts.
And they're like, what are you talking about? They have no idea. And it's not until they wake up one day and they go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Especially, I like the one where the guy picks out, like the mother. Like, his mother. And a female that's younger. And you go, doesn't that remind you of somebody? And they'll be like, who? Just somebody that's close to you? What do you mean? And then, like, years later, they'll be like, she's just like my freaking mom. Okay? And you're like,
we tried to point it out to you.
You're like, yeah, I tried to point it out to you, like, month one. And then eventually it became, like, an all-running joke with me and my friends. And then you just kind of get quiet and everybody laughs about it behind your back. But it's okay, you know? And so sometimes we don't really think about these things. But yet when we jump into relationships, we actually are running through our life. And that's nowhere to live. I mean, if you're not a professional runner and you're not running marathons for life, you shouldn't be running through life. You just shouldn't be doing it. I mean, there's no business to run through your life because you're going to miss all of it. And you're too busy courting somebody all the time. You're courting this person or this woman or that man or that man. And you're constantly going through this process of trying to be the best of the best of the best and look your best and get all the attention and all this stuff going on. When in actuality, you're forgetting about the most important person in the picture. We stop and we don't even remember. The funny thing is that most people don't even get the fact that they themselves are the most important person in their life. It's not John. It's not Sally. It's not Annie. It's not Emma. It's not Mark. None of those people are the most important person in your life. It's you. But in all three of these situations, whether you're the homebounder, whether you're the acting out, or you're the jumper, you haven't figured that out yet. And I've been there before. I understand. I've been there before. You know, with the Jedi grip on my cell phone, hoping and praying that somebody just calls me and tells me that they want me to come out with them.
You have failed me for the last time, Ashley.
Please, you want to go out to the club? Let's go. I'm ready to go. Oh, God, phone. Oh, God. I've been there where that right hand holding the cell phone, waiting it out. You know what I mean? Looking at it, turning it on and off to make sure it's still working. You know what I mean? Haven't you done that? I don't think I'm getting a signal. You know what I mean? I'm going to walk out to the front of my house right now.
Look at the battery power. Okay, I've got enough charge on it. Okay.
Let me make sure. And then walking out to the front of the house and resetting it. And then standing out there for a little while and clearing it and listening to it. And then going, calling a friend going, hey, man, I'm just going to, can you hear me? Can you try to call my phone real quick, too? Can you call me right back? And the phone rings. You're like, crap. It does work. Nobody cares. Absolutely nobody cares. My life is nothing. I'm a zero zilch. I might as well just sit here and moan and groan. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to give you the protocol. We're going to help you find the exact good protocol to deal with a breakup and how to move on with your life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about life after breakups. Oh, it can be intense. It can be difficult. It can be overwhelming. And a lot of times, because it's so intense and it's so overwhelming and it's so difficult and it's so sad, we have a tendency of falling into one of three categories. We either fall into the homebound category, where we're moping and we're a cardboard cutout of our past self. We're highly over-medicating ourselves, probably not eating, sleeping a lot, fetal position, as Bill will tell you, as well as acting out might be an option. When we're acting out, we do the opposite of the homebound. We actually go out, we go to the clubs, we go crazy, we drink every night, we do a Sunday through Sunday weekend, constant 24/7. After we get home from work, we go out and we party, and we either pass out or we wake up next to somebody we don't know, and that might continue for years. That's always a possibility. The last category is the jumper category. And everybody knows one of these two. The person that can't be alone because they always have to be in a relationship. So no matter what's happened to the relationship, what do? They jump to a new one. So right after the last one ends, there's another one begins. Because they can't be alone. You can't expect them to be alone.
It's kind of like you wonder if that person was actually in love with the other person. With the person that just broke up with them, you know, because they just jump in so fast.
Well, yeah, but they never deal with their own issues. They don't have any baggage.
Right.
They don't see the baggage. They never deal with what the games that they play. They never deal with what they were doing in that relationship. They never even realize what was going on. You know, they literally run from that one and get into another one and normally take the same luggage and Louis Vuitton trunks and baggage to that next relationship. And the funny thing is they normally pick somebody that's similar to the last person.
Right.
And you know how well that worked.
So what'd you bother for?
And you know how well that worked, right?
Yeah.
It's funny. And the jumpers are interesting, too, because when a jumper ends up getting, you know, when they get a divorce, when they're at the process of getting divorced, everything's fine until the other spouse, the ex-spouse, meets someone. And then the jumper goes crazy.
Because all of a sudden, they're not the center of attention anymore.
And all of a sudden, the other person has someone.
Right. Yeah,
I don't have anybody. And that's when the jumpers make the really big mistakes. And then you meet them out some night. And in the last few jumpers that I know, God bless. Oh, geez. The last one that I saw the other day, I mean, like, shirts untucked, you know, 12th beer. It's not even 9:30.
Bloodshot eyes.
Not even 9:30. You know, woman's, you know, looking at me, you know. I'm like, where did y'all meet out at? Oh, well, we met out at the club about a month and a half ago, and she's really kicking my butt, you know. Barely getting any sleep right now. You know, she's a hell cat in the bed. You know what I mean? You're just like, okay, well, you know, good job, jumper, move on. But they have a tendency of jumping into relationships because they can't stand being alone. So let's talk. Tonight, this is where we're getting into Ashley Burgess's. Love the way that sounds. Burgess's protocol for breaking up. And for dealing with breakups, for that matter. Because it's so important. Because I don't want you to be homogenized into one of these three categories. Because I think when you put yourself in one of these three categories, I mean, it doesn't put you in the right light. I mean, I think there's a lot more to you. I think there's a lot more to all my listeners than being in one of these categories. I mean, I think it's a moral imperative for you to get out of one of these categories and move on. And that's what we're talking about tonight, is the protocol for breakups. And the first thing that you have to do after any breakup is that we have to deal with the grief and the loss of the relationship. Okay? It's much like a death. And I know that sounds extreme. People go, well, it's not like you lost your grandma or anything. Well, no, it's a lot like a death, and you have to grieve the loss. You don't have to grieve forever. Please acknowledge the fact that you don't have to do that forever. But for a little bit of time, to acknowledge that it actually happened and to begin to let it go. You know, think about this. Think about it. You got to let go. You got to deal with the grief first. So when somebody passes away, you don't go hide. You don't go run out to the club, which a lot of people use this same technique for passing, for the death of their relatives. Think about it. A breakup is very similar to a death, and that's why those categories can actually, except for jumper, can actually go right to the derivative of dealing with a death. A lot of people become homebounders, and a lot of people become acting out because they can't deal with the grief. They can't deal with the loss. They don't want to deal with the loss, okay? So they want to numb it or forget it, or they want to die. So first off, in my protocol, we have to deal with the grief. We have to deal with the loss of the relationship. And how do we do that? Because that's what's interesting. How do we do that? First off, we have to let it go. We have to grieve. We have to acknowledge the fact that it is no longer existent. That we did. We appreciated it on certain levels. I mean, sometimes it can help to get out a pen and paper on this thing. Because a lot of times we have a tendency of reminiscing things. And so, in our better judgment, especially when we're dealing with grief of a loss of a relationship, the last thing you want to do is to reminisce everything, because that'll put you into the hole of depression that's so great and so big, you will need road signs to get out. And I don't have enough breadcrumbs to come to your house right now to do this. I mean, really. I mean, I can help you out, but on a big level, think about it. We have to deal with the grief of the relationship. So we begin by realizing it's over. We see the positives of the relationships. We see the negatives of the relationships. We also begin to realize in a normal, real way what was lacking in that relationship. Think about it. In order to deal with grief, we'll eventually have to get mad. You're going to have to get a little mad, but you have to deal with the fact that this is gone. We can't act like we just hid it away. Because eventually this is all going to come back, right? We're all going to have to deal with this grief. It's like when somebody dies. You can't just sit there and go, okay, there we go. Because we always know what happens when the person that doesn't cry, that's the closest to the deceased, when they act like nothing's wrong, we all know what happens a few months later, right?
Yeah.
I mean, total fallout, right?
Yeah, denial's not a river in Egypt.
Total fallout, total depression, total chaotic, and then eventually something breaks. And that's when it all hits the fan.
And, you know, and think about this too, Ashley. I mean, if someone breaks up with me, which we know is not going to happen. But
it's never happened before.
If somebody were to break up with me, then, you know, of course, you know, except like, let's say extreme examples, like I was guilty of, you know, domestic abuse or drug addiction or, you know, something just like really extreme like that. Then, you know, I'm going to get a little angry because, you know, why are you rejecting me? What did I do? I mean, you know, you contributed to this too, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think you have to allow yourself to go through those emotions in order to cut the cord.
You do. And that's why part of grief, you know, that's what's part of grief is when we let go of what's past. The next thing we have to do is to kind of get a little angry. And that even goes side by side with a death. Think about it. We grieve, and then we get angry that the person's dead, right?
Yeah.
You have to get mad before you can get over it. And so the grief process takes into consideration the fact that you look at it and you go, man, I just got dumped. This really sucks. And I'm not happy with this, and this is really sad. And there might be a few days where normal grief process takes the plot where you will be crying, you will be sad, you will be depressed, you might be in a funk. But when it starts becoming weeks and months, we have a problem. There has to be a time that you literally get up and say, okay, now I also realize that I had a lot to do with this, but now I'm mad too. And so the next step is realizing the part that you played and what baggage you may now have because of that past relationship. So you have to acknowledge, right, the part that you played. We all played a part. None of us are angels. None of us have the wings right now attached to our back. And we fly into other people's relationships and we hang out. No, none of us are beautiful angels. We're all very good people trying the best we can. However, everybody does something wrong sometime. So let's step up to the plate and say, what was the point? What part did I play in this relationship that caused problems? But also, it might not be that big of a part. It could be a large part. But what baggage do I now have associated with that past relationship? Because you cannot go on a vacation with emotions and all this kind of stuff. Think about the mental vacation and not come home with some trinkets. Okay? Trinkets is the emotional baggage. Let's just say you're in an abusive relationship and you were dealing with the fact that if you walk in and you talk loud, that this person's going to yell at you. Let's say if you're in a relationship where you felt like you were on broken glass all the time. You had to watch what you said. You had to really, basically watch everything you said, what you said, how you said it. You know, because a lot of people are in relationships they don't even realize are abusive until they step back and look at it. I mean, think about it. If you go from one relationship where somebody literally, if you turn on a light at a certain time, they yell and scream at you. or the way you talk to them is normal, but they do not accept it. And so you have to change your entire mode of operandi to be with this person. It's not until you break up that you can step back and actually grieve and acknowledge it. If you don't acknowledge the situation, you're going to go into the next relationship with the same baggage, these same problems. I mean, because I know people that have been in abusive relationships, they didn't even know they were abusive. Because it mimics so much like their childhood, dealing with their parents.
What they think is normal.
What they thought was normal.
Quote, unquote.
Oh, the screaming and the yelling and the this and the that and the throwing out of all of somebody's items on the front lawn. I mean, I had a client that was in here a few months ago, and they were like, every time they got in an argument, the guy would take her clothes and all her stuff because she was living with him but still had her place, right?
I had a next-door neighbor do that.
Oh, really?
Once upon a time, yeah. And I lived in it's a duplex, actually.
Oh, so you're right next door.
Yeah, literally right next door. And that's exactly what happened. You throw all their stuff out on the front lawn every time they had an argument.
Every time, right? And how would it go? She would run out there and scream and yell, and she'd grab all her stuff crying and all this stuff, and then go
actually,
back in?
Normally, he would do it when she wasn't there, like when she was at work or something. So, they should come up and, you know, find all her stuff out on the front lawn. And you
just
know.
To get back with them, right?
Every single stinking time.
It was a game they were playing. You know, I have clients that have fights every single night. They're the same exact fight. I mean, the same exact fight. So stay tuned. When we return, we're talking more about the Burgess Protocol for breaking up and how to deal with it and how to come out a winner and how to come out finding actual true love in your future. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking tonight about breaking up, about life after breakup. And now we've moved into our entire concept of the Burgess Protocol for dealing with being broken up with. You know, a lot of times we find ourselves in one of those three categories. You know, either we're the homebounders, we're acting out, or we're a jumper. And I don't want you to be homogenized in one of those three categories because I think that there's so much more to you than meets the eye. There's so much more to you than playing into one of those three categories. So at the last break, we were actually talking about the concept of, one, dealing with the grief of the loss of the relationship, understanding how to deal with the grief, and acknowledging what happened, what part did you play, what part did the other person play, right? That's a big deal. The next part was to realize the baggage that you now have associated with that relationship. And those jumpers out there, you know you. You know who you are. You haven't dealt with the baggage at all. You probably have more baggage than any of us. Because you never deal with it. Because you never actually accept that it's there. I mean, a lot of times jumpers say that it's the other person that had all the problems. It's the other person that had all the problems. You know how it is. But a lot of times it's them too. So we have to realize the part that we've played. I think it's interesting, too, because we want to fit in. We want to be loved. A lot of times throughout a relationship, we may agree. We may even curtail or change ourselves in some way to match or benefit the other person. Think about that. Because that's what baggage is. Everybody goes, well, what's baggage? I don't really understand what baggage is. Well, baggage is when you change yourself to fit in a relationship. Okay? And until you step back and realize what baggage you have, you can't change that. So when you go in the next relationship, because you've already changed yourself for the past one, you're not even you anymore. Now you're being whatever John liked before, but now you're in a relationship with Mark. So you've changed yourself. You might have even changed personality traits of yourself, okay? You might agree with things that you wouldn't necessarily not agree with. And you do this to what? To not rock the boat, to impress, to have everything be good in a relationship. And now I think it's a good time to ask yourself, you know, what did I choose to change? Why did I choose to change it? Why did I choose to augment this part of myself in this relationship? Do I actually miss the thing that I changed or got rid of? Do I miss that about myself? Was that part of me? Okay, so for example, I remember being in a relationship in my past where I've always been a very happy, joyful person. Okay, I've always been that way.
Happy, no. Happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Happy.
Joy.
Happy.
Joy.
I love that. I've always been a very happy person. Even if it seemed like the cards in the deck were down, and even when it seemed like my life was a real screw-up, I was still a happy person. And I remember dating one person at one point in time, and every time I would come into the house, I would be like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Oh, my gosh, how was your day? And they'd be like, shh, bring it down a little bit. Just bring it down, okay? And I'd be like, what?
So, sometimes I do that to you.
I know.
Like, we walk in the studio, and you're like, oh, you know, it's a great day. You know, I'm like, Ashley, shh.
I know.
You know, turn down the volume.
But think about it. Somebody did it to you every single day of your life.
Oh.
And so every time I would come in, it would be like, shh, Ashley, come on. Bring it down a little bit. And then eventually it got to the point of, Ashley, be quiet. I told you to shut the hell up.
Or worse to that effect.
Yeah. And I was like, and at first I kind of got a little angry, you know what I mean? But then I just stuck in that relationship. So eventually when I would come home, I'd be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, just like Pavlov's dog, right? I mean, yeah. Eventually he just trained you to, you know.
You better be that way or you're going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
And that to me is baggage. Okay? Because one, when you're in a relationship and you can't be yourself, you're in the wrong relationship, okay? That's probably one of the most profound statements you've ever heard in your life. When you can't be yourself and you're in a relationship, you're in the wrong one. You really are, okay? If you can't be your honest, genuine self, your authentic self, and authentic self means you're not addicted to stuff, you're authentic self, you're doing what's best for you. When you're doing what's best for you and you can't do what's best for you, you're in the wrong relationship. Okay, so me walking in being happy and happy and joy, that's part of my personality. Not only is it part of my personality, that's how I feel. So I'm supposed to bludgeon my emotional feelings. I'm supposed to be quiet. I'm supposed to suck it up. And I did that for a while, but when I left that relationship, I had to sit back and realize the, oh, hey, what's up, was not me, okay? And it took a while for me to work back to get to me. And if you're jumping into relationships or you're acting out or even if you're homebound, you're not focusing on the fact that you probably had to give a lot in this relationship and maybe you took a lot away from yourself. And I think it's a good time to ask yourself, what did I choose to change or augment during the relationship? Think about it. Do I miss what I changed about myself? I personally miss the fact that I was a joyful person. I didn't like having to be like all mellow and all, not even mellow was the word. It was more like kind of melancholy. Like I had to come in being like melancholy in order to be not yelled at. And in order to get like some sort of respect or to even be answered. And also, so did you miss it? And how do you begin to get it back? So my ability to get that back was to start realizing who I truly was. Who Ashley truly is. And if you're constantly in and out of relationships without doing any personal work, you don't know who you are. Okay? Don't try to BS me because it's not going to fly. Crap doesn't stick to the wall, okay? You cannot BS me on the situation because you can't BS yourself. If you don't know who you are, then you're not ever going to find a relationship that's going to work because you're never going to be honestly authentic and find somebody who honestly, authentically loves you. And that's what we're getting here tonight, right? We don't want to keep wasting time. I don't think anybody listening to this show wants to waste any time of their life. Nobody wants to waste years of their life in the wrong relationship. It's antithetical to living. So if we don't want to waste any more of our time, what do we do next? We do the right thing. We do what's right for us. And guess what? We actually make things work. We have to also work with ourselves. We have to work with ourselves, and we have to do this alone. You have to be alone. You have to be alone when you're working with yourself on certain things because that's the only way you get to know yourself. You can't be over there asking your friends everything. You can't be over there jumping into another relationship and asking how you look and what you should be like. I mean, eventually you got to stand up on 2 feet. You got to be yourself at some point. I mean, unless you don't want to be happy. And I know some people that are happy with being in certain roles where it's chaotic and it's drama. And if that's what you like, that's fine. I don't think that's your authentic self. But I think that that's what you've been basically, you know, brainwashed into thinking that you want. I think it's also interesting that all three of these categories, the homebound, the act out, and the jumper, all three of these never spend time really by themselves, except for the homebound. But normally when they're spending time in themselves, they're either highly medicated, they're sleeping, or they're actually hurting themselves, meaning they're not allowing themselves to eat. They're holding normal things back away from themselves. They're not being healthy.
You ever know, like, extreme cases like cutting or, you know, like really hurting themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's extreme.
Like the Johnny Cash song, you know, it's like, I hurt myself today to see if I could still feel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
People do that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, yeah, it's one thing to not even eat, but it's another thing to actually personally hurt yourself. And you're not even thinking about yourself. Like, you have no idea what's really going on because you are not even part of the equation. Like, you finding out who you are is not even part of any of these processes. It's about you trying to fit in and how to make yourself all pretty, like, so that the men folk will like you. Or for the men trying to make yourself all suave and cool so the women will like me. Because it doesn't matter what I think about myself. So when we return, we talk about a little bit more about how to get mad. We're going to talk about more about depression. And we're going to really get into how to get mad phase, because the getting mad phase is very important. And this also helps to leave things, and it also helps to get things put in its proper perspective. And it also helps you to deal more with understanding who you are and feeling the gamut of emotions. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You are talking now about Burgess's protocol for dealing with breakups. Yes, I have a protocol, and it's very important, especially when we're dealing with being broken up with. This is a big deal. This is a grieving process. We've had a loss. We've had a loss. We've lost something, and we have to grieve it. And a lot of times we are grieving these relationships, and we're not necessarily thinking about the impact, because we're not really thinking about the baggage that we have collected because of XYZ relationship. You know, for example, if you've changed something, augmented something, gotten rid of something based on the fact that your significant other didn't like it, it's time to figure out if you want that back. It's also time to think about why you changed it in the first place. I mean, why are you changing yourself to make a relationship work? And I think this is an important process, because before we can get mad, we have to examine the baggage that we have. Okay? We have to work with ourselves. We have to realize that we can't find ourselves, and we don't want to find ourselves in a relationship that we lose ourselves in. How many times have you heard people say it was a whirlwind relationship?
Yes, many times.
You have, right?
Yes.
Normally it doesn't go well, right?
You know, not normally, no, because you barely got to know that person.
Exactly. You don't even know them, because that's why it's a whirlwind.
Right.
I mean, like, they whisk you up and you're out there, and they're always like, it was just a whirlwind, but there's nothing there. I mean, like, there's just so much baggage there because it was so fast. You didn't get to know each other. You don't even know what you got going on.
Here's the problem. And I think, you know, of course, movies and romance novels and, you know, TV shows are way guilty of this, but it's successful. The whirlwind relationships are successful just enough to give everybody, you know, the Cinderella fantasy.
I agree with that.
It's like, love at first sight. I so believe in love at first sight. And, you know, I just met him in 2 weeks, but, you know, we're going to get married and live happily ever after. You know, and it's like, it's okay to have your head in the clouds. Just keep one foot on the ground.
It is. It is. It's sweet to have it's sweet to have the dream, and it's good. You know, to not be thinking so negatively, but at the same time, be realistic, you know? Well, when you meet somebody, also a big thing about this too, and this should be like a standards policy. When you first enter a new relationship, realize and understand when you are meeting somebody on their terms, or are you meeting somebody on both of your terms? If it seems like everything is all about them, i.e., I want to see you every waking moment for this next week, until I have to go out of town for my business trip, okay? You really need to think about that. Do you want to be at their beck and call all week based on their timeline?
Right, yeah.
Because a lot of times that turns out bad and poorly, because guess what? You're no longer a commodity. You can be there every day. you know, and then after the business trip, well, I'm just not feeling it. Just not feeling it.
And it's relationships have to have some give and take here. You know, I mean, it's not in a balance sheet where, you know, one, you know, sacrifice has to be equally repaid by another or, you know, anything like that. But if, you know, you are spending your entire life at this other person's, you know, house and, you know, basically doing everything they're doing, where's the balance there? You know, where are you? I mean, it's like you're subsuming yourself to the other person.
And yeah, exactly. You actually, who are you? I mean, I thought you had a life before this relationship, right? I mean, like, who are you? I mean, you don't just like not go to work and just go hang, you know, and go hang out over there, but you've actually taken your whole life and changed it. I mean, I think the more work you do personally, the more time you spend on your own after a breakup will allow you to be more aware in the future when someone is trying to change you and doesn't love you for who you are. Okay, everybody's been in one of those relationships where somebody's trying to change them, that doesn't like who they are as a person, that wants them to be different. How many people have tried to dress and change and change the mentality and the attitude of the people that they're dating? And I think that now, when you get more time under your belt between relationships, allowing yourself to see the baggage and to figure out who you are and what makes you tick and what's so important, you'll actually realize when someone's trying to change you, and you can quickly get out of a relationship like that, or you might not even get sucked in. You know, the next thing is, once we start realizing who we are, is that we need to get a little mad. It's time to get a little mad. It's okay to get mad. Just let go of revenge and let go of getting even. But after we see our baggage, you know, understand it and fix it and let it go, and we are then in a perfect position to get a little angry. Because anger, getting a little mad, helps to alleviate the depression and puts you back in control. I mean, because you have to get a little angry because somebody just broke up with you. I mean, give me a break. I mean, you should be a little mad. You should be a little angry. You should be a little pissed off. That's all right. That's allowed. That's part of being a human being. And I hope that you would feel this way. I hope you're not taking it all internally like, oh God, just kill me now. No, I hope that you're getting a little angry. And it helps to alleviate the depression because it stops being the victim at that point, and now you become more of the aggressor. Okay, get out of the victim mentality. The mad phase is when you begin to realize all the things that you couldn't stand about the other person. Because there are things that you couldn't stand about them. Let's get that through our thick skull right now. I don't care how in love you were, there are things that you couldn't stand about that person at all.
If nothing else, they didn't leave the toilet seat down, or they squeezed the toothpaste from the middle.
Or they had stinky feet.
Right.
Or they had a big pimple in the middle of their forehead that never went away.
Right. Yeah, you know,
no
something.
Matter what.
Yes.
Even though you had to wear that baseball cap every day, it still didn't cover it.
Right.
Seriously. I mean, there's like all those things that you kind of let go until all of a sudden you get broken up with, and all you can think about is all the great things about them. But then once you get mad, you have to realize that there are things that you couldn't stand about that person at all. No matter how much you try to dismiss these things when you were dating or being married. And this is excellent for purging depression because you're getting over this moping phase. Okay, so when we're able to get over the moping phase, it means that we've gotten angry, we've gotten mad, we've seen the problems inherent in the system by you know who. They are not perfect, and yes, their poop stinks. Their poop stinks too. Okay, and so we're able to look at that and say, you know what, self, I might have been a little bit to blame, but this person was also to blame too. And you know, if you really look at these relationships, you're also going to realize that there's no way that this is going to work. Okay, I mean, we can sit there and go, well, I'm really mad that somebody broke up. Is it more that they broke up with you? Or is it more the fact that you missed the relationship? And I think a lot of times once we get mad and we start realizing the things that we couldn't really stand about that person, it really kind of puts it in perspective. And I think at that point, it becomes more of a, well, baby, it's a godsend that this happened. Because I couldn't have married that person. I mean, if you were just dating, could you marry them? Think about it. If you were married, had you just had enough? I mean, there has to get to a point where it comes to a certain crescendo where you can't deal with it anymore. And even if somebody else is the one that pushes the button and says, I'm done with it, I mean, does it have to be you, or can you accept the fact that this is over? And after that getting mad phase is the move on phase. And the getting mad phase may last a little while. I'm not against that. I'm not one of those people that says you have to get past the getting mad phase. I'm one of those people that I'd rather see you after the depression and dealing with your own baggage and then get mad. The mad phase should probably be actually last a lot longer than the depression phase. I mean, depression to me, really, honestly, I mean, if it's a long-term marriage, you know, that might be about a month or two. That could be longer. But, you know, with a breakup of a relationship, it could be weeks, it could be a month, but there comes a time when you got to get mad. And I've always found that the mad phase, when executed correctly, takes you out of the victim experience, puts you back in the driver's seat, and allows you to sit back and realize that they weren't perfect. And now let's figure out what I can do to change my life. Let's think about the things that I want to get back that I lost in XYZ relationship. And let me get myself back. And I think there comes a time, and we're going to talk about it in a second, is about courting yourself. It's about courting yourself. It's about dating yourself. It's not all about who finds you attractive. And do you think so-and-so is going to date me? I mean, you got to look at yourself in the mirror sometime. I mean, my God. I mean, you have to figure out what you want in life before you're going to meet the right person. You can't go from relationship to relationship and think that you're going to find it. You might get married, sure, but is this going to be the right relationship? I don't think so. I mean, after the getting mad phase is the move on phase, right? And this doesn't mean in any way that you're in jumping in phase. This is not the jump phase at all. This doesn't mean that at all. The moving on phase is where you start your own personal program to rebuild you and to actually court yourself. And so when we return, we're going to be talking more about what this means to build your personal program and how you can begin to court yourself and how you can treat yourself like royalty. And eventually you're going to find the dream and the love of your life, because guess what? You will begin to love yourself. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about dealing with life after breakup. You know, how the three categories we tend to find ourselves is either that homebound, the act out, or the jumper phase. And I don't want to see any of my listeners... I don't want to see any of my listeners become homogenized in one of those categories, because I think it's wrong. It's wrong against yourself, because you owe it to yourself to do more. You owe it to yourself to learn from the experience, and you owe it to yourself to quit repeating the past. That's insanity. I mean, you got to get past this. But in order to get over a breakup, we have to do the right protocol. We have to do it right. And the first thing that we dealt with was dealing with the grief. And acknowledging the grief, because it's like a death. You have to let it go. But you have to go through the proper protocol. The second thing is that we have to understand the baggage that's there. The baggage that we have passed with this relationship. Because we all take baggage from relationships when they weren't working. Okay? Because a lot of times we had to change ourselves. We had to make changes. We had to agree with people. We had to match up. We had to curtail our attitudes and our actions because we wanted to make them happy. But what about us? When were we happy? And, you know, a lot of times when we get broken up with, the last thing we think about is, were we really happy in that relationship? It's more like we wanted to win. I mean, really? I mean, because I think there's a lot more to life than winning in a relationship. You know what I mean? I know that Charlie Sheen's made a lifetime about this, but winning can be done and actually find true love by actually understanding who you truly are. You know, I think you have to work with yourself, and you have to work with yourself on alone time. We have to do this in order to let go of the baggage. But at the same time, in order to realize what we've changed and the augmentations that we've made, and to realize what is that of ours do we want to keep? What is us? Who's our authentic self? What makes us tick? And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we have to get mad first. We have to get mad. We have to get out of the victim stage. We have to get out of the depression. And we have to realize it wasn't all our fault. And it's probably a godsend, because there were things that we couldn't even deal with about that person. Things that we just got so angry about because we just couldn't stand those types of things that this person did. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the mad phase and the move-on phase, because the move-on phase is the most important. All of the components, though, have to be done in order. So the move-on phase is where you begin your own personal program to rebuild yourself and to actually court yourself. Okay, the meaning behind this, and I know that you're asking me, Ashley, what the heck are you talking about?
Hey, Ashley, what the heck are you talking about?
Perfect. It's time to get to know you again, okay? So if Bill and I were going through this process, and being that Bill's never been broken up with, so hypothetically speaking, we would have to deal with Bill. It's time to get to know Bill. Bill has to get to know himself again, okay? He's got to cease looking for someone to date and to start treating himself like a king. And the same applies for you. It's time for you to get to know yourself again, whether or not you actually did know yourself before that relationship. Because some of us choose to never be alone, which means that we'll never know who we are. So we have to get to know ourselves, and we have to cease looking for someone to date, and we have to start treating ourselves like a king or a queen. Okay? The better we treat our lives, and the better we treat our bodies, the better we feel. Wow, that's astute. The better I treat myself, the better I feel. Huh, that's interesting. Instead of not eating or cramming fast food down my throat, maybe I would go to maybe Whole Foods. Maybe I might go somewhere that has decent food. Maybe I might go to a grocery store so that I can come home and make dinner for myself by showing myself love. I know this sounds remedial. I know for most people this might sound remedial, but are you really doing this for yourself? No. No, you're not. You're not doing this for yourself. You're not going and bringing back food to make it home. You're just not doing it. You're either eating fast food or you're standing up in that kitchen eating whatever. And you're not even sitting down because you're not even worthy of sitting down to eat because you're not a good enough person. You're not in a relationship. You just got dumped. Isn't that how you feel? And a lot of times we go through life like that. We don't take care of ourselves. And even if you don't cook, even if you have tried your best and every time you cook, you almost burn down the house, right? It doesn't matter. You can go pick up some of that pre-made food from one of those places that you get that from. I mean, think about it. You can cook. You come back home, put it in the oven, microwave, do what you want to do. But eat it off of real plates. Eat it off of a real plate. Don't eat it out of a plastic thing. Don't eat it out of a bag. Don't stand in the kitchen with your phone right next to you, hoping and praying as you make each, like, you know, swallow that somebody calls you. Okay? So the personal touch that you can actually add to this is to plate your food, to put it on real plates, to heat it up for yourself, to sit down at the table or sit down on the couch and eat.
And enjoy being with yourself.
Exactly.
You know, recognize that you're a good person.
And if you don't court yourself, nobody will.
Yeah.
And you have to go into this like you're dating yourself. Like, you know, because when you're dating somebody, you go out of your way. You go to the store. You pick up the food. You bring it home. You make it. You get some flowers. You might get a bottle of wine, right?
Candles.
Candles.
Romantic music.
We can end.
Okay, now we're taking a direction I don't know if we want to go in. But anyway, we get the gist.
You can go there too if you want, but you do that on your own time. I won't have to give you the protocol to figure that one out, I hope. No, but seriously, I mean, you sit down and eat and actually, you know, have some fun with it. I mean, like, the way that you court someone else should be the way that you treat yourself on a daily basis, okay? And I know that's hard for some people to understand, but you got to start doing it. You got to start doing it. Start showing yourself some respect, for God's sakes. I mean, think about it. If you actually start taking care of yourself, preparing meals, going home, taking care of yourself, okay? That's awesome. You're courting yourself. You're dating yourself. And it's cool because you're taking care of yourself and you're caring about yourself. And at the same time, you can actually think about your emotions in a clear way. You can think about things in a clear way without having other people bombarding you and without having to basically the struggle of forgetting about these things. Like, you're spending time with yourself and yourself is going to make it very clear the things that are very authentic to self. And it's also interesting that you have to begin to work on one other thing. So even though you're courting yourself and you're making dinner for yourself every night after work, and it doesn't have to be that expensive, okay? It doesn't have to be that expensive. But the point is that you actually care about yourself. You actually make the food. You sit down. You don't rush through it. You eat it. Maybe you get a movie. You watch a movie. Maybe you DVR'd something that you personally like. Put it on. Entertain yourself. It's part of being around yourself. And the next thing that's so important is to think about the cell phone. because you have to start working to loosen the death grip that you have on that smartphone. Think about it. How many of y'all listening tonight who've gone through a breakup or have gone through a divorce have that phone in your hand right now? And it depends on what hand you write with. I mean, I used to always keep my phone in my right hand with that Jedi death grip, hoping that somebody was going to call. And if you're trying to court yourself and you're working to love yourself, the last thing you need is that phone in your hand at all times. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it go, because right now that phone is the one thing that's between you and yourself, because it's saying to you, you're not good enough. You don't have anything going on. You better hope and pray that phone rings so you can get away from yourself, quit being alone, and be a real person. But the sad thing is that the more that we surround ourselves with other people when we don't know who we are, the more lost we become. I mean, that's the case. That's the real, genuine situation. I mean, because we become more lost because we don't know who we are, because we haven't given enough time. Because it's like dating somebody that's never around. If you're constantly running from the house at all the times with your phone in your hand, you're never going to get to know yourself. And I think it's interesting, when we're lonely and we're fresh out of a relationship and we're struggling and we want to ignore our feelings, you know, the phone honestly begins to feel like our only connection to the outside world. You know, however, when we are dependent on that phone and respond immediately to every text we receive, we aren't bettering ourselves at all. We're actually not even paying attention to ourselves. Instead, we're praying that someone, anyone, God give me, someone will call us or text us and invite us anywhere but where we currently are sitting in our own home. I've been on the couch with that death grip on my phone, and I've been waiting for it to ring or buzz or to do something, anything. And this to me was a very empty space. I felt like I was in a very empty space. And then when I began to court myself, I begin to realize that I don't need to look for outside stimulation. I don't need to look for busyness. And that was my first big move, is to put the phone down. It can wait. And I think it's interesting, too, is because you know that the invitations that you will agree to go to are usually far from anything you truly want to do. So I remember after a breakup, and I'd be waiting for the phone to ring, and somebody would call me and be like, "Hey, what's going on? Dude, what are you doing tonight, man? I got some concert tickets." And I'd be like, "Oh, well, that's cool." And then they would like say, like, Megadeth.
Yeah.
That's one of Bill's favorite bands, but it's not mine. And I was like,
"I'll take that ticket then."
I was like, Megadeth? Okay. I mean, like, you know, as you bring the earplugs in tow and pray that the alcohol works very fast. I mean, for me, at least, it wasn't my favorite band.
Who sells, but who's buying?
See, Bill loves that band, by the way. But a lot of the invitations that we sit there with our death grip on that phone and we get are things that we usually don't want to do. Why lower your standards just because you don't want to be alone? And this is something I want everybody listening tonight to ask themselves. Why should you lower your standards just because you don't want to be alone? When you put a stop to this activity, you bring yourself up, and guess what? You power up. You power up your inner strength and your personal respect for yourself. Don't be homogenized in one of these three categories. Great show.
Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate it.
Awesome. And by the way, don't settle. Power up. You have inner strength. Respect yourself. Get to know yourself and court yourself. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, be back in three shakes.